Welcome everybody out to our 10 a.m. period of worship. A couple of quick thoughts to share before we get into things. We do have several guests that would like to welcome each of you out. It is our pleasure to have you here. As always, if you do have questions about something that you see or hear during worship, feel free to grab one of the members afterward. We would be happy to try and speak to that as best as we can. I do have a couple of notes on the sick list here. You will notice that Chuck has traded spots with Debbie, so we are glad to have him back, but we'll want to remember Debbie as she's out ill this morning. And then also Christina Johnson was not feeling so well earlier today. Mike said he's hoping that she might be able to make it out later on, so we will have to see with her. As far as members out of town, Martin Evans is working this morning. We're hoping he should be back with us later today. Tim is back from Germany. We're glad to have him, but you'll want to take a picture because he and Janet are leaving this afternoon to go to Arkansas for the holiday. Tony is listed for the Wednesday invitation. As far as the order of worship today, Keith will be wording the opening prayer. Jesse and Dave will be handling the communion at the appropriate time. Tim is our song leader for this morning. You'll see he has 273 marked as his first selection, so I would encourage you to be turning to that if you haven't already. Back in the saddle, Chuck will be preaching for us this morning. We do want to remember that Andrew will have the closing prayer at the appropriate time. Also, keep in mind the radio show this afternoon. I believe it is going to be Chuck and Mike Johnson on the air. So we'll want to remember that at 2. That's 98.5 FM, 1400 AM. Otherwise, we will be meeting again at 4 p.m. this afternoon. If you're in the area, we would encourage you to join us at that time. If there's anything I failed to mention, please let me know afterward, and I will make sure to get it added so we can bring it up at the appropriate time. Otherwise, I will turn things over to the song leader.
Sing all three verses of 273. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
Far up above and o'er the earth, sir. Assemble in this place, assemble as your children, to worship you in song, give you glory and honor, Father. We thank you so much for all that you have done for us, all the many blessings that you have given unto us. You are a loving God, and you have seen that we have everything that we need for life on this earth, Father. And we thank you so much for everything that you've given unto us. We especially thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have received from you by being in your family, Father. We thank you so much for being able to come to you in prayer, being able to approach thy throne, lay our cares upon your throne, Father. We know that you hear our prayers, Father, and that you answer our prayers. Thank you so much for your Son and his love for us, his willingness to come to this earth, to walk upon this earth and to undergo trials and temptations, Father, and to know that he served you perfectly, lived a perfect life, Father, but yet had to be offered up as the sacrifice for all mankind. Father, we realize that without that sacrifice that we would be hopeless, we would not be able to be in a right relationship with you, and that we would be lost for all eternity. And we're so thankful for that blessing and pray that we will always live our lives to reflect that great blessing. Pray that we will tell others about that great blessing. Jesus, try to spread your word, Father. Father, we thank you so much for this congregation that meets here. We pray that you will help us to always stand for truth, to always be students of your word, to diligently seek out your message in your word, to try to understand it, to try to preach it, teach it to others around us, Father. Help us to be the light in this community that you would have us be. Help us to teach the lost and to further your word in this area, Father. We pray that you be with our members who are dealing with illness, Father. We pray that you would help them to regain their health. We pray that you'd be with Debbie as she is sick. We pray that you watch over her, help her to regain her health. And we thank you, Father, that you continue to be with Chuck and as he continues to recover from his illness. We pray that you continue to help him so that he may regain his full strength and once again be in full strength in your service, Father. We pray that you be with our members who are away from us, those who are traveling, but that you will keep them safe as they are away from us and that we help them to return safely to us once again. We pray, Father, that you be with us, each one of us present here, and that we strive to serve you throughout this life. We pray that you help us to always put you first, to always look to you for strength and guidance in our lives, and when we have difficult and tough decisions to make, that we will seek out your word and try to understand what you would have us do in those with those decisions, Father, and that ultimately we may glorify you in everything that we do. Pray, Father, that you be with us now as we go through this service. Help us to focus our minds and hearts on you and to put you first in our thoughts as we strive to worship you in spirit and truth throughout this hour. And we pray that you be with Chuck as he's about to stand before us and speak your word into us, Father. We pray that you will help him to deliver it in a way that we can understand it and be able to apply it to our lives, Father. We realize that it's such a important duty to be able to rightfully divide your word, Father. We know that so many times that people in the world, that they get it wrong. We pray that you will help us to always be able to rightfully divide your word and to know exactly how we should serve you, Father, and help others to understand that as well, Father. Go with us now for this worship service. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. would now turn to Psalm number 217. We're about to observe the Lord's Supper, and this song will help us be reminded of the love that Jesus had for us. If he not died for us, we wouldn't have hope, and that's what we're going to sing about now, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. We'll sing all three verses, 217.
What did the Savior tell of me, and come to earth below?
Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, Lord's Supper has been prepared this morning for us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. As we just read, we need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the right place with God, in the right place in our minds this morning. So let's give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we thank for this bread that represents your Son's body that was broken for us on the cross. We pray that we are living lives in a manner that's pleasing to you. And we're sorry for the sacrifice that was made, but we're still thankful for it at the same time. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll stay to give thanks for the cup.
Dear Lord, we're here to remember our Lord and Savior's death upon the cross. The suffering and the shame and agony we went through on our behalf. We pray that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which so fittingly represents the shed blood for us, that we do so in a manner pleasing to Thee, in accordance to Thy will, and forgive us of our sin in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we also give the members here an opportunity to give back to the Lord. Let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for our ability to gather here this morning and to gather with fellow Christians. We're especially thankful at this time for how richly blessed we are. We are a richly blessed people, and we are thankful for everything you do for us, knowing that all these blessings come from you. We pray that we are good stewards of everything that you bless us with and that we use it well to the betterment of your word and your church. We pray that the funds here would be used in a manner that's best pleasing unto you, and that the elders make good decisions for its uses. Pray that you be with us at this time. Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
it back over to Tim.
Song for the lesson this morning will be number 527, Paradise Valley. It's a great song that contrasts between this life and the life that we have hope for, been prepared for. So let's stand, if you would. We'll sing all three verses and then come to the
As I travel through life with trouble and strife, I've a glorious hope to give cheer on the way. Soon my joy will be o'er, and I'll rest on that shore where the tide has been turned into day. Up in the beautiful Paradise Valley, by the side of the River of Life. Faith and no strife. There we shall live in the rose-tinted garden, neath the shade of the evergreen tree. How I love what a paradise, paradise, where the beauty of heaven I'll see. As I roam the hillside, or I lift to the tide, as I pluck the sweet flowers that grow in the gale, a faint picture is there of a land bright and fair, where perennial flowers there fail. Up in the beautiful Paradise Valley, by the side of the River of Life. Up in the valley, the wonderful valley will be free. Pain and all strife. There we shall live in the rose-tinted garden, neath the shade of the evergreen tree. How I long for the Paradise Valley, where the beauty of heaven I'll see. Though your garden is rare, it is not to compare with the flowers that bloom in the garden above. In the midst of it grows, Sharon's perfect sweet rose, 'tis the wonderful flower we love. Up in the beautiful Paradise Valley, by the side of the River of Life. Up in the valley, the wonderful valley will be free. Pain and all strife. There we shall live in the rose-tinted garden, neath the shade of the evergreen tree. How I long for the Paradise Valley, where the beauty of heaven I'll see.
Be seated. Mark Psalm 588 is in the table. Psalm 588. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. While you're turning there, let me just express my appreciation to all those who stepped in while I was out, so to speak. All you guys, last minute notice, even jumped in and taught classes and prepared sermons and radio program, and we even get visitors helping out with the radio program. I was listening to Brooks. I wasn't perky, but I was listening. And so I just appreciated Dan doing that too. And of course the bulletin was covered too while I was gone. And just really appreciate all your help, guys. Especially, of course, your prayers. Now Debbie, we hope she gets feeling better. She's hoping to be out this evening. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which I'm not going to be preaching today, but the Sermon on the Mount. Such wonderful, wonderful teaching that we can find within those three chapters as Jesus began his earthly ministry. I want to read the first three verses of the 5th chapter, if you'll follow along, where it says,
And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he had seated his disciples, or when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to stop there. You guys are familiar with the Beatitudes that are there, and you can read on down through the, even through the 12th verse in that particular section. But today, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I don't think it's coincidence, folks, that with all the wonderful things that Jesus is about to teach and all the things that, man needed to understand to be faithful to him, to mold us. I'm telling you, you follow the teachings, those lessons in the in those three chapters. Wow, I mean, that's godliness. That's what God wants of us. And I know there's some struggles in there when he talks about how that we are to love our enemies and how we are to pray and how we are not to pray. But I don't believe it's a coincidence that he starts out right off the bat by talking about this very important characteristic of being poor in spirit. But he didn't just say, blessed are the poor in, or the poor in spirit. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What are we talking about there? Well, let's look at a few passages here. Now, I'm going to be coming back to that. Not necessarily mean to come back and quote it. That's difficult. But let's turn over to the book of Romans quickly. Romans chapter 4 that we have recently studied. Romans chapter 4. And he uses this concept, you know, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So obviously he's using the term blessed there in a positive sense, that which is fortunate. We often talk about the concept of even being happy. Over in James, the first chapter, he makes reference to this same concept. James chapter 1 and in verse 25, which is a great text, by the way. But he says, But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. This one will be blessed in what he does. He'll be fortunate. Not only be fortunate, but he will truly be a happy person. A person who searches the scriptures and abides in that teaching that he talks about there. And again, the Bible is just full of different passages that uses that concept of being blessed in a positive sense. And blessed are the poor in spirit. So let's just talk a little bit about this. What was Jesus talking about? Isn't poor associated with something that is negative, not so good? Oh, poor soul. Oh, that guy's poor. You know, you don't think of something good from using the term poor. But for you and I, when we think about the concept, Jesus isn't talking about that which was physical. He's talking about it in a spiritual sense. And if you focus just on the physical, you might come up with this false concept that some people have of taking a vow of poverty. There are some religious groups who think that, you know, if you just take that vow of poverty and you have nothing in this world, and if you just go to a convent or go to a monastery, just cut yourself off from the world, and all you have is the robe on your back and the ability to hum and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, you just cut yourself off, that God is going to be so impressed with you. And that's not what he's talking about. You know, people might talk about, wow, what a sacrifice. Well, of course that would be a sacrifice. I mean, there's a lot of things that are sacrifices and not necessarily good. You know, a person says that, wow, look at that guy. He has sacrificed his time. You know, he's got three children, and he's gone 8 months out of the year. Wow. What a guy. What a sacrifice. What a bad guy. You know, the point is that just, you know, you need to look at this in the right sense. And so cutting yourself off from society and become like, you know, taking on this vow of poverty is nothing what the Bible has to talk about. Say, well, what about Jesus himself? You know, he had a stone for a pillow. You know, isn't Jesus teaching us the idea that we are to be poor in this world? Well, of course cares about because of that he talks about people who are faithful to him, that there are people who are well off that were faithful to God. Obviously, there's temptations with that. But I'm getting sidetracked. Let's get back on track. We're not talking about the vow of poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He's talking about something on a spiritual level that we really need to get, because you can read the rest of those chapters and even the rest of those verses in that section. But he starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't get this, we're not making it. We're not making it to heaven. And I'll tell you, this poor in spirit is such a wonderful quality that I know that you personally love it when you see it in the life of somebody else. Because you know the opposite of it. The opposite of it is tonight's sermon. So I'm not going to go there. I'm staying on the positive right now, because he said, blessed, fortunate, happy are those, the poor in spirit. And so I want to ask you guys, before we even get started in explaining all this, are you poor in spirit? I mean, I'm just going to ask you straight up. Are you poor in spirit? Well, I don't even know what that is. Well, good. You come to the right place. But I'm going to tell you that if you sit there and say, well, I don't know what that is, but I would also hope that if you don't know what that is, you would say, I sure hope so. I mean, or I want it. I want to be poor in spirit, because Jesus is telling them, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, I want to spend eternity with the Lord. And he talks about that concept of the kingdom. It hasn't come yet. At that point, they've been preaching about the kingdom. And of course, as you continue on in reading through the book of Matthew, you get to the 16th chapter, verses 18 and 19, and you learn that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom, the church, that you and I can be a part of. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to tell you, there is no poor in spirit, no kingdom of heaven. The idea of spending eternity with the Lord forever, being a part of his spiritual kingdom. Remember, the spiritual kingdom, you need a king. You need rule. You need territory. And my mind's blank for the fourth time. law. Thanks, Pete. I'm a lip reader, so watch what you say. See, Wednesday's over. and so you have this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom that we want to belong to, we want to be a part of. And he starts right off in this great Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so I hope that you and I are at least interested in learning a little bit about, I wonder what this is all about. So let's look at some biblical illustrations. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah, the 57th chapter, if you would. 57. And we'll read we'll start in verse 15. We'll start in verse 15. Isaiah 57. Listen to this, folks. Isaiah, writing by inspiration, says, for thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, nor will I be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him, I hid and was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will hear him. I will also lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. Now, why this particular text? Because of that verse 15. You know, when I think of a poor in spirit, he's describing here, he says, with him who has a contrite, humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, you think of a person who has that kind of disposition, that kind of heart, and that's what's going to help them to do whatever God is going to ask them to do, which is cool, because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, there it is. Why would I continue on and talk about all the things that I want my people to do if they're not poor in spirit? It's just not going to happen. So it's not coincidence that I'm saying right off the bat, be poor in spirit, because if you just, if you take that out of there, it's like a recipe. You know, it's like a recipe. You need, you know, I love to bake stuff. What am I saying? I love to bake. I make pancakes. And so, you know, you get that ingredients in there, and it's like, oh, so if you just take that first one out of there, okay, you can throw all the rest of the stuff in there, but what are you going to have? Well, you're not going to have the proper recipe. You just can't take something out of there. And folks, you know what? I'm not just taking something out of there. I'm talking about something that Jesus considered the most important, fundamental, foundational part of us being faithful to Him. Being poor in spirit. Can we have some examples of this? Well, I want you to turn with me back to the book of, we're going to go to the book of Judges. Judges. Right after Joshua, like I had to tell you that. Judges chapter 6, if you would. Look at a few examples here. We're really trying to understand the poor in spirit and how that prepares us to serve the Lord. So in Judges chapter 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 11. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gibeon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And were all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and in the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Now, we're going to look at a couple of examples, a couple more examples in the Old Testament. But I just want you to notice God's wisdom of calling somebody to go and trust in Him to do His will with this attitude. What's His attitude? "Oh, the Lord has called me. He called me. I'm somebody. I'm somebody special." Well, you called the right guy. I'm your man. Yes, sir, I'm somebody special. Boy, am I gonna dwell on that tonight. But I'm staying on the positive right now. Because he says right now, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh." That's some pride, man. What are you putting yourself down for? And I'm least in my father's house. You're the man for the job. You get somebody that is going to clothe themselves with that kind of humility, who's not arrogant, a person who is just wanting to recognize that he is nobody great without the Lord. You know, the poor in spirit. Boy, people have written so much on those chapters. And I can remember one preacher talking about this idea of poor in spirit. And I know they're grasping at illustrations. I just soon just stay with the word. He used this idea that a poor in spirit is a person who stands before a mountain and says to the Lord, "I can't climb it." And then he says, "Okay, let's go. With the Lord, I can't. But I'm going to say I can't." Well, basically, when I think about a poor in spirit and looking at Gideon here and some of the other illustrations we're going to have, it's just somebody who realizes that the Lord is going to require of us to serve Him, like the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, wants us to do things. Think about it. You husbands, you wives, you moms, you dads, you children. You think about you workers out there, you citizens. And all the things that God is going to require of you. Remember, a person that is poor in spirit is going to be equipped to do those very things. You think of a child with his parent. say, Chuck, my child's four. He's going to be poor in spirit. Well, you're not going to get that. But I want you to understand that as you grow older, you understand that when you have this disposition of humility, of not elevating yourself, is going to put you in a position where you can serve. It's really hard to serve when you think you're better than somebody else. It's going to be hard to do what somebody else has wanted you to do and let them do the thinking for you when you think that you have all the answers. It's going to be hard for you to listen to God. And we see some contrast to that, which I will illustrate to see. Now let's go back to Exodus. This is a classic case that we want to show about being poor in spirit. I think he might cross the line a little bit here of not trusting in God, but it's going to prove the point. Back in Exodus, the third chapter, we'll just pick it up in about verse 10. Now this is where God comes to Moses and wants Moses to go and set his people free. He says in verse 10, "Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I shall certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." I'm telling you, folks, that's what you and I need to have. Who am I that God would call me to become a child of God? Who am I? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, you're called by the gospel. Who are you? Who am I? Who am I that, you know, I appreciate what Keith talked about, I want to teach. I want to preach. And it just, and I'm just so thankful that others could do, step up there. And I'm lying in bed going, boy, I'm easily replaced. But the point is, you sit there and you see the talent that is out there and the things that I want to do, but... Okay, Chuck, why do you want to do that? Do you want to do that because you think you're so great and you're so wonderful? The point is that all of us here as God's people are striving to go to heaven. It's just we have that disposition like Moses. Who am I? I am nobody special. That's the point. That's the poor in spirit. I am nobody special. And don't you love that quality? Didn't you love that quality when you met your wife? When you started dating your husband? The reason you didn't date the other person, because the other person was saying, wow, I'm somebody special. Boy, you really lucked out when you got to come out with me. You're like going, I want this date over. You understand what I'm talking about? The person, you love that quality. God loves that quality. And that's the quality that's going to get you to the kingdom of heaven and be a part of it. Being poor in spirit. I am nobody special. And I'll tell you, when you start thinking that you're somebody special, watch out. Now, I'm not talking about being special in the sense we're thankful. Paul said things like, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. He had that confidence. You can have that hope, that peace that passes all understanding. You can have joy of knowing that you've worshiped God in spirit and in truth today. I'm not saying you don't do that. You don't take pride in those facts and that you say, Chuck, I love my husband. I love my wife. I'm doing the best I can, and they appreciate me for it. You can be happy with that. But what I'm talking about here, folks, is that which is going to help us in all aspects of our Christian life of serving him, because you may be asked other things. Oh, it's easy if God says, husbands, kiss your wife. Husbands, put her desires before your own. That's where it gets harder. But a person that has that attitude that Lord, whatever you want me to do, I am going to do that. I am nobody special. And so I will put others before myself. I will put your word, whatever you tell me to, I'm not here to question you, Lord. I am not here to question you. I am just here to learn. And that helps us as students, and that helps us as teachers. Boy, the sky's the limit on all of this. Look at 2 Samuel 7, if you would. I I really like the 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to pick it up in verse 18. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. It says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God?'" Verse 20. "Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." David's disposition: look at yourself compared to God. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. God is great. Our Savior is great. We are His humble servants, and we can't be poor in spirit." You can't be poor without recognizing what is rich. Right? If I were to ask you guys, are you rich? Physically, I mean, money-wise. Are you rich? And you go, "I'm not rich." "Well, how do you know?" "So, well, I know what rich is. I've seen rich." "Oh, okay. So you're able to compare. Great. I understand that. And I understand everything's relative, too, because you may be rich compared to other people. But the point is, if you can be poor in spirit, you can't be poor in spirit. You cannot be poor in spirit until you recognize that is who is rich in spirit. And who is that? It's our God. He's perfect. He's great. He's wonderful. And so we are poor in spirit because we compare ourselves to Him and understand that He is the awesome God. It is a privilege here today. It is a privilege. You guys are not sitting in the audience today going, "God, you ought to be thankful I'm here." I know that's not your attitude. Your attitude is, "God, I am thankful that I am able to come here and worship You on Your terms. I humble myself before You. I humbled myself before You when we prayed, when we gave, when we took the Lord's Supper, respect for the Word as we study, and when we sing." It's coming across to God. Our poor in spirit needs to come across to God continually, folks. You can't separate that first beatitude from everything else you read. Because I'll tell you, that's how marriages can even fail. "Wow, I remember the way it used to be," a husband or wife might say. "I remember the way it used to be." And I'm going to tell you, folks, we as Christians, we'll never forget that we're poor in spirit. Because when we forget we're poor in spirit, that's when we start drifting away from God and we start doing things contrary to His will. It's that attitude that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Now, this isn't just Old Testament stuff. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll pick it up. Get over there. Luke chapter 5. You remember Peter? I mean, you have to love this. Save time. Let's pick up verse 4. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out in the deep and let down your nets to catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Luke 5, verse 6. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the other boats, and they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees, saying, 'Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Wait a minute. The Lord asked you to do this. You did that. You got the fish. Now, why are you acting this way? Peter, why are you acting this way? "Well, I'm acting this way because I'm comparing myself to that person. Depart from me." You know, when the man beats his breast that Jesus talked about in Luke 18, you know, and where he just smote his breast, he came up to the temple and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's a poor in spirit. There's a person that says, you know what, I'm going to come to the Lord, but I'm going to come to the Lord on his terms. And it's easy to come on his terms because I recognize his greatness in my lowly state. I am nothing without him. Poor in spirit, folks. That's the key that's going to keep this church strong, because tonight's the opposite. Man, I really wish I was preaching back to back right now. But that's what's going to help us. That's what we're talking tonight. Well, this morning we're talking about the recipe for it. Tonight we're talking about how to destroy that. But to keep the church strong, to keep your own family strong, relationships strong, we're talking about the key right here. But there is that danger, of course, of the opposite. So Peter has this confidence or this humility here. But then you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Same guy. Obviously, time has passed. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, he tells us in verse 15, he says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Also, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written, as in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. That's what the point I'm talking about. How do you prevent drifting away? Here it is. You recognize God's greatness in all of this by keeping that poor in spirit attitude. How do you fall away from your own steadfastness? The person gets full of himself. And we don't want to do that. Be poor in spirit. Jesus himself, the great example. To save time, I'm just going to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You can say, well, Jesus taught, blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you really think Jesus is going to preach stuff to anybody that he wasn't willing to do and demonstrate in his own life? You think about that for a moment. So how did Jesus demonstrate being poor in spirit? Well, you get over to Philippians, the second chapter. Let's see how much we'll read. Well, let's just start reading in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but for the interest of others. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And we could read on more. Jesus himself. You want to read poor in spirit? There it is. It wasn't all about himself. This was the man who got up and washed the feet of his disciples. He saw that something needed to get done, and he did it. And of course, he had a more profound lesson than that he was trying to get across. But the point is, Jesus himself is teaching us. You can see how that can help you and I. What causes problems today? What creates sin? Telling you folks, what causes problems for you and I is not being poor in spirit. Everything can be traced to that. Every transgression can be traced to that. And that's why he said, don't let it be out of selfish ambition. Esteem others better than ourselves. What? What creates prejudice? Well, we know. What creates that? Hatred, envy, jealousy. All the problems are there. But trying to keep this on a positive sense, because these are the qualities that help us. This is what's going to help us with the kingdom of heaven. This is what's going to help us with our relationships as brothers and sisters. Even in our personal families. Are we poor in spirit? We're the ones that are ready to listen, to follow, ready to sacrifice. That's us. Who are poor in spirit? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, one more passage and lesson is yours. Turn to Luke 17. This is where it all comes from. Here's the disposition. Here's what I'm striving for. Here's what we need. This is what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Luke 17, let me pick it up in verse 5. Listen to this. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once, sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper? Gird yourself, serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you can eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Brethren, please understand my point. I am extremely thankful. And I wanted to thank the brethren that helped me. So we're talking, you helped the church. There was a need and we stepped it up. Okay. But what if nobody thanks you? What if nobody ever thanks you? I wanted to, and I did, but what if nobody does? What is our attitude? I want to do it only if I get recognition. I will only do this if I get some kind of senior moment. But let's face it, people do things if they get something in return. What's in it for me attitude? What's in it for me? When I think about a poor in spirit attitude, it's not what's in it for me. It's what can I do for you, Lord? And that's the person that the Lord is going to exalt. That's the very person the Lord is going to exalt. The person who has humbled himself and realized that they're nobody, they are nobody great, nobody special. And don't you just love that quality in somebody who is not full of themselves? And I'll tell you, when it comes to getting to heaven, folks, Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about in making his very first point, blessed are the poor in spirit. So I want to ask you, are you poor in spirit? Well, Chuck, it seems to me that you're just basically talking about a person who's just clothed with humility and wants to put the Lord first and others first. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so, are you poor in spirit? Have you submitted to what the Lord asked you to do? You can say, well, Chuck, I am poor in spirit, but if I walk out through those doors not doing what the Lord expects me to do, if I have unrepented sin in my life, I'm sitting there fooling brethren. I have unrepented sin in my life, and I don't take care of it. You can't say you're poor in spirit. If you're sitting there and you're in your sins, you've never obeyed the gospel, you're lost in your sins, you say you love the Lord and everything, but if you don't submit to his will, there's no poor in spirit. And so I want to appeal to you this morning that if you're not right with the Lord, please come to the Lord on his terms, but you can't do it. It's impossible to do it if you think more highly of yourself than you ought. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So this morning, if we can be a help to you, we'll sit down, we'll open up our Bibles, making sure that you understand what the Lord wants you to do in becoming a Christian, or being restored. If it's of a private nature, you take care of it privately, but take care of it. If it's public, take care of it publicly. We're here to pray with you, pray for you. If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing this song.
Sinners, Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall, sing it all.
Sick, also those who be traveling. We just know that the prayers, you know, that we offered on Chuck's behalf were heard, and we also ask you to use that same fervor to pray for our efforts for the building. You know, that we've done everything we can do, and it's in the, you know, the state's hands now to give us back our renovation plans. We can't push any harder, but they say there's nothing we can do. But we know there's something we can do, and that's pray. So let's do our part to make sure that we push as hard as we can for some answers in that regard. So we just appreciate the congregation here, the church family that we have, and let's never forget that. So let's now be dismissed in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us this day so that we can come out to worship you. We're so thankful that we're able to come to this location to be able to study from your word and get sing praises and to do everything that you have us to. We ask you that as we leave from this place, that we're as shining lights, that we are clothed ourselves with humility, and that we try to spread your word the best we can. Help us to make the better and wiser decisions each day and try to point as many people towards your way. We're so thankful that Chuck may be well. We ask you that he continues to gain the strength and continue to spread your word. Also, please be with Debbie and all those who are unable to be here, including those who are about to prepare to travel later this day. We ask you that if there are sins in our lives, that we take immediate actions to correct ourselves, to repent, and then return back to you. Help us to always try to find ways to be closer to you and try to study more for your word and apply to our lives. We're so thankful that we're able to serve you. Help us to always be well placed in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, a little container.